The domestic war on terror is here. Is coming after half of the country.
The January 6th assault on the Capitol and the tragic deaths and destruction that occurred underscored what we have long known. The rise of domestic violent extremism is a serious and growing national security threat. The Biden administration will confront this threat with the necessary resources and resolve.
America is not a place where you hold people for months in solitary without charges. This is what Guantanamo was set up for Al-Qaeda terrorists who were not U.S. citizens.
You don't do that. That's not America. That's the gulag.
You thought the first war on terror was dysfunctional, unjust, counterproductive. Wait until you get war on terror 2.0.
And our office wants to ensure that there was shock and awe, that we could charge as many people as possible.
I heard a loud voice bark out, FBI, come out with your hands up.
People who are witnessing this inside Baghdad, it must be shock and awe indeed.
The new Secretary of Defense ordered the entire U.S. military to, quote, stand down while investigators cleansed the ranks of political extremists.
Purging out of the military any dissenting voice.
Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
January 6th was a honeypot. They're going to use this event for every bit of political persecution they can milk out of it.
In the years after 9/11, the media and the national security state,
you can't distinguish between Al-Qaeda and Saddam when you talk about the war on terror,
used exaggerated threats and outright deception.
Contacts between Al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein's regime, there are others.
We know they have weapons of mass destruction.
To associate certain ideas with certain events.
9/11, Saddam Hussein, weapons of mass destruction.
This was the first war on terror. Now, it's happening again.
January 6th was worse than 9/11.
The very same corrupt interest in Washington that pushed the Iraq War under false pretenses are now pushing the lie of a domestic white terror army.
Terrorism from white supremacy is the most lethal threat to homeland.
They are tying white nationalist terrorism to Trump voters.
You voted for the person who the Klan supported.
They're tying January 6th to 9/11.
I would like to see January 6th as burned into the American mind as firmly as 9/11.
They're tying millions of law-abiding Americans to Al-Qaeda and ISIS.
Pushing them more into this violent white extremism, much the way bin Laden, you know, did, sort of inspiring people to be this way.
You link two concepts together, even if they don't belong together.
No external terrorists ever did this to us. We've never worried like this, even after 9/11.
You put it in a headline.
MAGA terrorists.
Al-Qaeda.
And you shove it in people's throats enough.
Not Al-Qaeda. White supremacists.
Then they come to believe it.
January 6th is being used as a pretext to strip millions of Americans, disfavored Americans, of their core constitutional rights, and to defame them as domestic terrorists. But what exactly happened on January 6th? How much of what we were told about that day is a lie? Darren Beatty of Revolver News is one of the few in media who's done real reporting on what actually happened on January 6th.
The establishment narrative.
The worst single act of political violence since the Civil War.
Donald Trump supporters killing police officers.
Was MAGA blood libel.
Officer Brian Sicknick died after being hit in the head with a fire extinguisher during the hours-long attack.
They beat a Capitol Police officer to death with a fire extinguisher.
Officer Brian Sicknick died after being hit in the head with a fire extinguisher during a fight.
He died at the age of 42 after he was bludgeoned the fire extinguisher.
A rioter hit Officer Sicknick in the head with a fire extinguisher.
Hit in the head with a fire extinguisher.
Bludgeoned with a fire extinguisher.
There's just one problem with the story. it never happened.
The New York Times has quietly retracted its story about the death of Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick.
There was no such thing. There was no fire extinguisher involved at all.
And the paper is backpedaling, admitting that it's possible he was never even hit at all.
New York Times retracted the story. They moved to a different story.
Cater is seen spraying bear spray into the face of Officer Brian Sicknick.
It was bear spray. It was bear spray that killed Officer Sicknick.
Revolver News found the video shows no spray coming out of the container. It's a lie.
Sure enough, eventually the media admits Revolver.News is right.
The DC medical examiner today ruled that Capitol Hill Police Officer Brian Sicknick died of natural causes.
Officer Sicknick died of natural causes. He did not die at the hands of the MAGA mob, and yet you still see in the mainstream media this reporting that it was a deadly mob.
A murderous mob.
A murderous mob.
A murderous mob.
Deadly January 6th attack on the Capitol by a mob of Trump supporters.
They got the word deadly from this false reporting on Sicknick. It was a blood libel, and again, the national security state was operationalized on the basis of that narrative.
Just as non-existent weapons of mass destruction were used to justify violence in the first war on terror, a false news story published by the New York Times became the pretext for a national crackdown. Ali Alexander organized the January 6th rally.
After 9/11, I spent my early adulthood growing up in a post-9/11 world with an Arab name.
It's open season on hate towards Muslims and Islam.
At one point in 2012, I had to have a member of Congress call the FBI to get me removed from a watch list. And now, in this post-1/6 world, I'm on a list yet again because I've been deemed a minority in dissent.
We are now hearing from the man who organized last week's rally that turned into a deadly insurrection.
I know what it's like to grow up in America and post-9/11 as Arab, and I know what it's like to grow up post-January 6th as a Trump supporter who demanded election integrity.
Ali Alexander was trying to build a movement of people until it was a rhetorical gun cocked and pointed at Congress.
The vanguard of delusion, of anti-democratic, you know, attempt at a putsch that represented by Stop the Steal.
My life has been torn apart. I regularly receive violent death threats. It has prevented me from returning to my work. I lost all of my social media and any ability to engage in commerce online.
Aaron, remember, the Department of Justice says not only is it investigating what happened inside the Capitol, but the conspirators and instigators who may have started this whole thing.
The Biden administration has put Ali Alexander under surveillance as a potential instigator and conspirator in the so-called white supremacist insurrection.
I've been told that I'm a white nationalist. Me. I've been told that Stop the Steal was a movement of white supremacy. Stop the Steal was the most law-abiding movement that this country has seen in modern times.
Christ is king! Christ is king!
None of the Stop the Steal rallies have ever had a police report or an instance of violence. None of them. Over 500 rallies, and I think that that's why we had Republicans and Democrats supporting us.
It was rigged. What can I tell you? That is not a conspiracy.
There's a lot of Bernie voters who believe strongly, progressive voters who believe that their elections were also rigged in the primary. And what it proved was that we were a bipartisan movement that had a spectrum of beliefs, but we all kind of centered around one thing, and that's that our bureaucrats, these are non-elected officials, should count transparently.
I'm just really excited about the 5th. I'm really excited about the 6th. Don't forget to tweet out MarchToSaveAmerica.com.
We listened to never-before-aired tape of a January 6th planning session that took place between Ali Alexander and several members of Congress. There was no talk of insurrection, nothing even close.
I made a very executive decision that we were going to descend on D.C. On the 6th.
And we have several members of Congress on this call, and state legislators.
I consulted members of Congress. They felt like this would add pressure to make sure that our voices were counted. You know, we knew it was a losing fight, but we still believe in miracles. And we wanted to know, well, who are the Republicans who need to be primaried and who doesn't?
So the Republican Party, I just want them to hear this message. Look at this crowd.
We are the people that you must represent, or we're going to replace you with patriots.
And so that's what January the 6th was all about. It was just about making sure that if you called yourself a conservative, that you stood with the conservative movement. And unfortunately, it spiraled out of control. We coordinated with the U.S. Capitol Police nearly every day. A lot of people don't know that Stop the Steal actually had a permit on the Capitol grounds. So not the Capitol itself and not the Capitol Plaza, the Capitol grounds, Law 8, we had a permit. So let's just imagine this. 20 to 50,000 people inside the President's Park. We're sitting there at the very front. I'm dead center of the President, front row. A Trump campaign staffer walks up to me and says, you know, Ali, there are people leaving the overflow, and there are already tens of thousands of people at the U.S. Capitol. With your presence and the presence of Alex Jones, why don't you guys walk down Pennsylvania, gather people together.
We're coming for creatures!
And then position them for your rally on Lot 8. I wasn't at the Capitol when it descended into chaos. And that's only by God's grace, because I was scheduled to be there. Secret Service let us out at a point where we would have been there when the first punch was thrown. And that's strange. The only reason that we weren't there is because we stopped and gave an impromptu speech.
We're building America up. We're here to take our rightful country back peacefully.
I get a text from the campaign that you should get there and de-escalate because things are not going well. So we started to approach the side of the Capitol where no protests had happened in November, no protests had happened in December. All I thought was, I need to get them to the other side, and I need to get them to Lot 8.
Let's march around to the other side!
And all we have are equipped with are megaphones.
Let's not fight the police and give the system what they want!
Maybe 1,000 people are listening to us.
Come off the stands!
Out of 75 to 100,000 people there in front of us. And it was a very helpless feeling.
We need to not have the confrontation with the police. They're going to make that the story.
Within seconds of the planes hitting the Twin Towers on 9/11, we had a lead suspect.
Some of the key suspects come to mind, Osama bin Laden.
Two suspects are in custody this evening in the bombing of Oklahoma City's Murrah Federal Building.
Within 48 hours of the Oklahoma City bombing, Timothy McVeigh had been arrested. Yet it's been the better part of a year since January 6th, and the masterminds behind this supposed insurrection have never been found. If Ali Alexander and Stop the Steal didn't conspire to provoke violence on that day, then who did? Is it possible that the real conspirators were hidden in the crowd of middle-aged Trump voters? Journalist Elijah Schaefer was at the scene on January 6th.
The election was totally fraudulent, as we all knew.
100% it was stolen.
And these congressmen and senators are going to see we mean business.
January 6th was just, you know, mom and dad who were mad about what they saw to be an election that they thought was unfair, rigged, fortified, stolen. It doesn't matter what you say it is. They were just angry, and a lot of them just got caught up in the front lines of chaos.
Oh my gosh, we just got tear gassed in the middle of a prayer. Are you kidding me?
They thought that rioting was like a game, maybe.
Washington, D.C., this is happening near the White House. A protest started getting out of control.
During 2020, rioters caused about $3 billion worth of damage and killed about 24 people over the course of 8 months.
This is David Dorn in his very last moments on Earth. He's a former police captain protecting a store.
I happen to believe that a lot of the ways they treated rioters that were left-wing,
Kamala Harris was working to help the instigators, the criminals, get out of jail.
Giving the narrative that there's no consequences for acts of violence, even on federal grounds. Cases being dropped from the federal siege in Portland by leftist rioters. I believe that was part of sending a narrative to gaslight the right wing into thinking that they could riot too and get away with it. The mainstream media pretended that they were not directly agitating the Capitol riots.
This is mostly a protest. It is not, generally speaking, unruly.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings.
Can I speak to Pelosi? Yeah, we're coming, bitch!
It's no wonder people are taken to the streets.
and I support them.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
The Boston Tea Party, rioting. Do not get it twisted and think that, oh, this is something that has never happened before, and then this is so terrible, and where are we, and these savages, and all of that.
If you see anybody from that cabinet, you get out and you create a crowd.
Peaceful protesters.
Too many see the protests as the problem. No, the problem is what forced your fellow citizens to take to the streets.
The media and Democratic Party leaders created the environment that made the January 6th violence all but inevitable. But were there other agitators there that day?
It makes you wonder about agitators. And I've seen agitators all over the country. And this is not exclusive to right-wing riots or to, you know, January 6th. There's sometimes people that look like maybe they're professionals. Maybe they're there just to cause trouble. I don't know.
Someone who might know is security analyst J. Michael Waller. For years, Waller worked as a professional agitator.
I'm a senior analyst for strategy at the Center for Security Policy, and my area of specialization has been political warfare, psychological warfare, and subversion. During the Cold War, I infiltrated Soviet International Front organizations for the purpose of causing provocations that would discredit the Soviets. And so we actually managed to provoke a fight to break out at the World Peace Council conference that the Soviets had been sponsoring in Europe. We had a huge banner about the Soviets and the communists, you know, destroying the world and being the world's greatest threat to peace. And then a fight broke out there. And then that was all captured on TV because the Soviets had organized the world media to cover this event. So we had the headline in the Boston Globe, "Fight Breaks Out at World Peace Conference." January 6th was a political warfare operation. Having been trained by professional agitators in the past, I saw that this is a coordinated effort, that there are different cadres of agents provocateurs and other troublemakers who had a sort of a military-like precision in what was to become a storming of the Capitol building.
You could start seeing different units of agents provocateurs. They were assembled right here on the Statue of Peace. And they were assembled in various places on this walkway, goading members of the crowd, trying to cause trouble.
It's time for revolution!
One of those agitators was a full-time left-wing activist called John Sullivan.
John Sullivan, I mean, what he does best is agitate. He causes problems, and that's what he's known for on the left and the right. I mean, he is the person that organizes all of these events and riots in Utah with his group Insurgents USA.
Journalist Taylor Hansen was also at the Capitol on January 6th. While living in Utah, he was attacked by members of John Sullivan's group.
And it was, you know, right shortly after George Floyd died. I was riding my motorcycle downtown. You know, for some reason, there was just this huge car rally, and I had no idea what it was. You know, I had to weave in back and forth between these cars, and I ended up pulling over, and that's when I actually first encountered John Sullivan and his group, Insurgents USA. And Antifa attacked me, ruining my bike, and basically just, I mean, I actually had a gun pointed to my head at that rally specifically, and that was from John Sullivan's Insurgents USA group. He knows his stuff, and he knows how to, you know, start something in a crowd, or, you know, to almost talk somebody into initiating violence for him on his behalf.
The FBI affidavit says he's on video egging on protesters at the Capitol. He said things like, "We're about to burn this down and we ain't waiting until the next election."
I saw multiple agitators changing clothes. You know, they had huge backpacks. They'd have someone guarding the corner as they'd go and change clothes. In the initial phase, it was changing from Black Bloc into Trump gear right before it all started and when they actually started attacking the police.
The police were completely overrun. And in fact, it wasn't the police who kept the Trump supporters back.
Stop it! Stop!
It was Trump supporters keeping other people that were allegedly a part of their group back.
We are not that type of people! That is not us!
And that's when it just got weird. It got weird because things got peaceful, more peaceful, and people began to settle down. Police officers began to fire impact munitions down at the crowd.
They're firing these tear gas grenades into the crowd of people who weren't doing anything wrong.
And it riled up the crowd, and then they started fighting and pushing forward, and I'm going, this a situation that just got de-escalated, why would you want to escalate?
They're gonna kill somebody.
And that's when another Capitol Police officer, a bike patrol cop, came over and actually pushed a man off a wall, which I also witnessed.
A cop in blue and black pushed him both hands on the back.
It made the crowd angry enough to actually push up the stairs. I mean, I walked right into the building. Both windows on the left and the right, they were already broken. And I just kind of walked right in through the front door.
Hey! Fucking hey, man.
Saying that the January 6th event at the Capitol was worse than the 9/11 attack to kill thousands of people is just really irresponsible talk.
Any chance I could get you guys to leave the Senate wing?
We will. I've been making sure they ain't disrespecting the place.
Okay, just want to let you guys know this is like the sacredest place.
This was the case of a legal protest.
They are trying to burn down our Capitol, and I did not come here for that shit.
Hijacked at the very tip of it by some certain organized groups, several organized groups, and from various political ideologies.
In the first war on terror, many of the groups that were the supposed terrorists were groups with which U.S. government had a very long and storied cooperative relationship. Basically, we created the Mujahideen in Afghanistan, certainly supported them. You know, as recently as basically the United States' cooperative relationship with ISIS, which it used for its geopolitical agenda, countering the Assad regime in Iran and so forth. The elements that were designated responsible for terror were precisely the elements that the United States has a long history of instrumentalizing for its own purposes.
Not only has the government sponsored, funded, and armed terror groups fighting our foreign adversaries, federal agencies have a long history of ensnaring American citizens in manufactured plots. It may sound like a conspiracy theory until you learn the undisputed details.
The FBI is responsible for more terrorism plots in the United States than any other organization.
Trevor Aronson wrote a book on this called The Terror Factory, and it analyzed every terror prosecution from 2001 to 2013. Aronson found that at least 50 defendants were on trial because of behavior that the FBI had not only encouraged but enabled. FBI agents were essentially the plotters in these crimes. They made the crimes crimes.
You scarcely need to go back 3 months prior to the so-called Capitol Siege of 1/6 to an event that has now evaporated from memory and from the national consciousness. And that is the so-called Whitmer kidnapping plot.
The alleged plan was to kidnap the governor and put her on trial for treason, all because of Michigan's COVID lockdown.
The federal government thwarted an alleged plot to kidnap the governor of Michigan in a manner that included, shockingly enough, storming the state capitol.
According to a report in BuzzFeed, Michigan State Police stood down and let protesters, including those in full tactical gear, enter the building unopposed.
Why haven't you called for backup? Where is your backup? This is our damn Capitol building, and y'all are letting it get destroyed on your watch!
Interesting parallel. Well, it gets even better.
12 of the 18 conspirators were either FBI informants or undercover FBI agents. In other words, fully two-thirds of the people plotting to kidnap the governor of Michigan were working directly for the feds.
That's quite a percentage. It gets even better. Many of the individuals involved in this plot have been associated with the very same militia group that the government has attempted to associate with 1/6. And if that isn't enough, I'll give you the cherry on top.
Hello, I'm Stephen D'Antuono.
The head of the Detroit field office of the FBI, who presumably oversaw all of those agents who would have been actively involved in inciting the Michigan kidnapping plot. Subsequent to that, he was quietly and suspiciously promoted to a high position within the DC field office, where he now oversees the investigation into 1-6.
Most Americans probably assume the chaos of January 6th was a result of intelligence failures or of simple government incompetence. But direct incitement by federal agents? The intentional entrapment of American citizens? No decent person wants to believe that. But increasingly, there's evidence it is true. It makes you wonder, if permanent Washington is willing to launch a second war on terror on its own citizens, what else are they capable of?